Good morning. God bless you. My goodness. What a wonderful Easter time, right? He who is risen, be risen in our hearts today. Praise the Lord. Well, I think we're on for a good treat today, for a wonderful time in the Lord and a good time of celebration of his resurrection, right? Much suffering, but much what a victorious resurrection. So we're looking forward in anticipation for what the Lord has for us to, for a resurrection message later on today. If you have your Bibles, you can go to the book of John 12. We'll read one scripture there in a moment, but we'll first go to the author. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful one more time that we're speaking to a resurrected king, that we're speaking to resurrected people. Yeah. With the resurrected message, Father, for this age, for this hour, all things are real here in our lives. So we bless your name. We ask that you put all distractions aside, Lord God, and that we may be able to enter into your victory, Father, your resurrection, your overcoming strength, and your overcoming power. You have a promise for those that overcome, as you overcame and had sat and are sat in the Father's throne. We bless you. We worship you. And we ask that you would make this a mighty revelation for us this hour and this age. In this Sunday school teaching, Father, may you bless it for your honor, for your glory, in all things we say and do. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, God bless you all. Today we're going to be talking about a seven-course meal. Seven-course meal. And I couldn't hold but just to read along. I had a scripture. We have John 12, but the message we were just hearing just a moment ago, in this message in 65, Brother Branham said, but now he promised us a full square meal. Right. The full seven-course menu, if you get it. Look what he says next. For some of them, or it says for all, the seven seals will be open. No, it says are open. Past tense. And everything is ready for the word of God to those. We're so thankful, right? We can be counted those who can receive. Amen. Grace, right? Simplicity, what a message of grace. Normally I read a scripture first, but I just thought that this goes right along with what we're just hearing right now. And I have a little subtext just to get an idea of where I'm going with towards the end. So Jesus supped with the resurrected Lazarus. 6 days we'll see before Passover, after he had been resurrected. So in John 12, the first two verses, it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which he had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. They there made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them. I'm so glad we can say we're one of them. That sat at the table with him. Amen. Just what a concept, right? That the Lord Jesus came and supped with he whom he resurrected. Think about that. That makes it personal, right? That makes his resurrection personal. See, and I'll read verse 2 again, just with the little imagery there. There they made him supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus, the resurrected one, the one who's been quickened, was one of them. He sat at the table with him. Amen. And I just have some imagery here of seven-course meals in different places, Italy, French, and back in the Bible. You know, the feasts represented. There are seven feasts. At least four of them I can find. They all had to do with food, right? I'm sure they eat food at all times, but they all were literally biblical scriptures of what to do. And then we have the Passover, right? Some prepare 7 days in advance, and they instituted that right when the temple was destroyed and so forth. A lot of imagery to show what this message came to do in a type, right? In a shadow, is it came to provide all the rapturing faith, all the nutrients that we need to walk in this walk. And when I've been in Israel the second time for a 50th anniversary, there was a place we went to go eat breakfast. And this is the kind of meal that they give you. It was like $16 breakfast, but they brought us like 10 plates of things. They just had like this and the hummus and the different things, and that's a favorite always there. They got falafels or falafels. And then this right here, they have some like little green salad with tomato, and I don't know, it's a gastronomical jubilee, you know. I didn't have a taste for Mediterranean food before, but I've gotten acquainted with it, and it's really good. You got some lamb, you can do many different things. But see, in this hour, we were promised a fresh kill, right? There's been a fresh kill. And see, in Matthew, of course, 24:28, it says, "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be." There would be the eagles gathered, right? Or there will be gathered the eagles together. And you see, the imagery here, we have the message we just read is the seed is not air with the shuck. So he says, neither will a Christian eat on that dead carry-ons from old denominational doctrines and things. They want the word of God fresh, revealed, opened, the promise of the hour. See, God promised rabbits in the days of Luther. He promised other things in the days of others. But now, this is what we started with, but now he promised us a full square meal, the full seven-course menu. And what is it? For all the seven seals are opened. And everything is ready for the word of God to those who can receive. I think that's very perfectly put. Yeah. Amen. Hawks hopping like buzzards. Oh my, think of it, how critical, why the hour is. Just as the hawks has long lost his identification as a hawk, so has the church long lost their identification as the lesser bird, is what they're, you know, now identifying with, brother of the eagle. See? God's prophets, it says, once the carrier of the truth, it says, true word, justification, then become a carrier of sanctification, then become a carrier of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. See, restorations of the gifts. But then when he goes on and keep going back to try to eat something, manna from another day. See, it's rotten. It's no good. A genuine eagle of this day knows that was all right, but we got that plus until Jesus Christ is made manifest. Amen. In the fullness of his power, as he promised to be in this last day. I think the message is clear. He came to bring us a revelation of who we are, where we were, where we're going, right? And who he is and such. So who is Jesus? Look at the message. But the eagle puts her nest way up there in a tree up high. Nobody can get to that. The parasites don't bother them. They fly too high. See, now the predators and the rodents and things is not going to bother them. He is an eagle. They like eagle food. See, this is it, he says. You know, Jehovah is an eagle himself, and he calls us eaglets, and his prophets are eagles, seers. Amen? This message came to do exactly that in the word. See, where the carcass is, the eagles will gather. Eagles, the fresh kill of the word that is raised up and fattened and been made manifest, past tense, and give out to the food for the children. Now, the old carcass is laid there for hundreds of years there before, and it says there will be. See, we had a word for a time release word for another age. Now we have a word for your day and your message, your hour. Revelations 2:17 says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat." See, to eat, to partake, representative of, you know, partaking of the word, of the hidden manna. Hidden manna. This is the only place where you can find the word hidden manna in the Bible. And we'll give him a white stone. See, Revelation. And then in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Amen. A personal revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to you personally. Amen. See, in the road to Emmaus, I gleaned a little something, because we can always picture him walking through the road to Emmaus, but we forget that he also ate with them. See, let's read. It says, "But they constrained him," saying, after he expounded on the word, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and he brake and gave it to them. So he revealed it to them. And it says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. See, so what happened after the walk was this. Was an intimate walk with an intimate walk and an intimate opening of the word, and then him having a meal with them. Right. Having a meal, and I kept on looking and I kept on looking where Jesus had a meal on one-on-one and just wait for it to the end. Well, because, you know, we know he had supper with the disciples. And over here, before I even come up with the imagery here, I looked it up much to make sure that there was many of them had a three. But then in the Bible, I think it refers to there being two. But I kept on looking and looking and looking, and I couldn't find an imagery of him even eating with one. Well, we'll look at something at the end. It's straight in the Bible. I think it's beautiful. I really dig for much time looking for something, and I found a golden nugget for ourselves here. Luke 24:35, and they told, this is when they were testifying of their experience, they told the things were done in the way and how he was known of them. In other words, they knew him in what? In the breaking of bread, right? You know, when a trumpet, you know, sounds an uncertain sound, right? But see, when we had this message, and you were just hearing it just a moment ago, it came with the surety, it came with thus saith the Lord, and it was laser focused to who you are, where you're going, where you've been, and, you know, who he is, amen? And it's just a clarity. And the thing about that is, just like anything else in the word, when it's revealed to you, it just does become life. That portion of that truth is quickening you. Don't longer become a theory or a doctrine. Amen. And that's when it has its effect. Luke 14:16-17. Then said he unto him, this is Jesus speaking, a certain man had a great supper and made many and sent his servant, not with an S, servant, at supper time, to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Pretty similar to the quote that we were listening to a little while ago, right? All things are ready. All our seals are opened. Amen. Seven, he calls it, full square meal, menu. My goodness. And I'd just like to read that last verse 17 one more time. And he sent his servant at supper time, to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now, this is when some of them started making excuses. And then that's when he said to his servant, this is again, go to the highway and the byways. Go to the ones that, the oddballs, you know, to those who will receive. Because look what it says next. For I say unto you that none of those, talking about the ones, you know, not receiving, man, which were bidden, shall taste of my supper. See? In Revelation 19:9 says, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called. This is the opposite of that verse I just read, unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. See, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. See, I wrote this note here, the bride's diet is that of a seven-course meal of the spoken word. See? Right. The full word, revealed word of this hour.
Yes, right.
Amen. I think we were just hearing that moments ago. See, Elijah was sent to a widow, right? Woman, Sarephath. And a lot of times we picture her picking up two sticks, and we picture, you know, the kid dying and all that. But we forget that what really happened after that, though, in the resurrection type, what really happened after that is that the barrel of meal did not exist to exist, right? And then that the oil also did not vanish, right? The cruse of oil. So, see, here we have a situation where, you know, the prophet came and it was all about the word of God. So now we're going to start, you know, when we're talking the natural, now we're going to start talking a little bit more about the spiritual here. It says, he sent... And she went and did according, this is the widow now, woman, to the saying of Elijah. And she, And he and her house did eat many days. See, partaking of this revelation, right? Reminds me when Sister Haiti, right? When somebody goes and she says nothing but the truth. When just somebody just partakes and receives. See, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. That's the whole thing. According to the word of the Lord, which he spake. It was that spoken word, see? By Elijah, the prophet. See? And it brings me back to when was the first thing time that a meal was ever partaken, right? And let's go back in here. And it says in Genesis 2:16, it says, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. See, there's nothing in the word that's bad for you. And you can freely eat of it, right? He was advised of another tree, of another in type, of another act, or of another, you know, disbelief that will bring him death. But he was saying, but of the other trees, of everything that's the tree of life, you can partake freely. See? And the enemy came cuddenly with saying, now, is it true that the Lord says that you cannot eat from, you can eat from every tree except for this? But he didn't say the word freely. He kind of took that freedom away. See? Because when you say freely, it isn't just say go eat from any of the trees. That means there's a freedom in being able to do that. There's a freedom in being able to pick this up and know that you could eat any of this. And that will bring us life. Amen? And that leads to that full square meal, is having all that being revealed this age and this hour. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. These types we're talking about, but of some of the words. But it says every word, all of it, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, that's the full square meal. And this is what we have. It's just that there's portions of it which has been revealed by God's grace that has not been to other old ages. And to, like it says, to those that can receive. And that is of grace. Amen. Another meal resulting in life. See, the first meal that where the Lord sat down to eat with someone that I can find was when the Lord met Abraham. See, the other one resulted in death, right? Death when in type, right? They partook of the sin, right? Instead of partaking of the spoken word. See? But look what happened here in Genesis 18:8. This is the Lord that appeared, you know, in the plains of Mamre to Abraham and Sarah. And he took butter and milk, this is Abraham now, and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree again. See? The tree of life now. And they did eat. And this is what led to life. You see? So what we're talking about here is there's two meals that we can partake, right? The things of the world, the things of the denomination, or the fresh kill revelation of this hour. It is that simple. And I want to touch on the story of dining at the king's table. You might remember we have an imagery here of hard name pronounced, but it's Jonathan's son, right? So when David said unto him, this is Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, again, you had King Saul, you had Jonathan, and then his son, right? This is long after all the wars and all that had happened. David was already king. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul. Isn't that amazing? What a promise there. Thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Isn't that amazing? Being able to eat bread at the king's table continually. You might, now that's a picture of grace right there. You might remember Mephibosheth, he had a problem with his feet where he couldn't walk much. So, you know, he was what we would call now a disability. And I'll read it again. See, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. I don't know, I just see perfect love all around this. And it says, and will restore thee all the land of Saul. I mean, he will restore you all the promises of your father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Isn't that what he promised in some of the verses we read? To he that overcometh, I will grant him to sit at my table as I am set. He says, I am set. Present. That's a perfect present tense there. Boaz and Ruth. Again, we see her gleaning, you know, poorly in that, but we forget that she had a meal too, in type, right? See? And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel. We know who Ruth represents, in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was satisfied. Was sufficed, it says, and left. And when she was risen, up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until the evening time. And beat out that she had, and gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. See the imagery here? And we, you know, like I said, we see this, but we forget that then, you know, the revelation of the meal was done to her, right? Then she had the revelation that, you know, who Boaz was and who Boaz was going to be. And it's just, it's beautiful in type that Brother Brandon talked a lot about how Jesus in communion, having fellowship, that he had, he loved partaking of food. My son and I, 85% of the time, before he goes to bed, he says, Dad, can we go have some cereal fellowship? So we sometimes call it, and it's just like, it's so tired and all that, but it's like, how can you say no, you know? Yesterday he asked me, but it was way late, so he, by the time I looked back, he just was out. Sometimes we call it cereal fellowship or Cheerios fellowship, because that's what he eats, or sometimes we call it between Cheerios fellowship. But I mean, it's just, he just goes in there, and that's our time. And it's just, he's been reading his Bible now. He's at chapter 3. He just all of a sudden started reading it, and then he's like just mesmerized everything he's reading. He says, oh, the evening time, the cool of the eve, because he said, Dad, it was so hot when we went to go walk in the middle of the day because we went to do some exercise and bicycle and all that. And he says, but now it's so cool. And I always try to bring in little moments of lesson times, you know. My daughter gets me all the time. She says, Dad, every time I say something, she says, you always turn it around and turn it into a life lesson. But she comes with these things, what are they called now? POVs or something like that? I don't do media, but they're supposed to stand for point of view. So they basically come to you and they says, hey, POV, somebody's doing this and they're doing that and then they do this. And I said, well, POV is in Bible. That's not supposed to happen. But, you know, she just says, oh, you kill all the fun away. I said, see, that's a little seed. You know, it sounds funny and everything I said, but that's if you really think about it, that's a you're receiving that, you know. It's funny, but you just have to be careful, you know, not to make it life, you know. Not to do everything you watch on the screen, if you will. So, Song of Solomon. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner of me with love. And wrapping up here, this is my kind of meals. We know when I want to just have a time. I love steak. I like big meals. But I also like, I don't know, dried fruits, figs, salmon, tunas, fishes, you know, reading my Bibles, dried fruits, good bread and all that. But the idea is I went to a restaurant and, man, I had the worst, like, after feeling, you know, where you just, it was not the right kind of ingredients for me. I just left feeling sick and stuffed. Whereas I go to other restaurants and I don't feel stuff. I feel nurtured. I feel nutrient, like I had the nutrients I needed. And I feel like I can run after that. And I feel like I got energy. But yet I'm not stuffed. See, so I think that's the kind of message that we have. Is we have a message that's going to keep us in a position that we're light enough to be able to be caught away. Right. Amen? And the resurrection message. So Psalm 78 here, wrapping up. And he rained down manna upon them to eat, and he had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. See a few more scriptures here. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him. In other words, did they dare to ask him, who art thou? See, he was revealed by then, knowing that it was the Lord. That's a personal revelation. Then Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself or revealed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Amen. And this is the last point I want to bring. I'll say it right here. John 6:54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And as we know, like in the type of Brother Branham, right, with Jesus, when he started speaking and saying these kinds of things, it says, the Bible says, a lot of his followings dwindled away. When Brother Branham started talking about the third pool and the different, deeper things of the word, that's when, it wasn't that in style anymore, right? And that's where, many of his friends and all that, were lost and such, or dwindled away. So this is what I want to ask. We know Revelation 3:20 where it says knocking at the door, right? And we see that imagery, there's a lot to be said about the latch and the end door, and you have to open from the inside. But we always forget that what he's saying that if you open, he's going to do what? He actually doesn't even say he's going to come into his house. He's going to say, I'm going to come into him and sup with him and him with me. Amen. So see, this is the imagery. I actually could not find, not even an AI formulated image of this. I tried looking, putting the Bible verses, just say, is there like a clip art or something like this of this? And I myself couldn't find where it always shows that him knocking on the door. See? But not the second part of the same one verse. Jesus sups with the individual believer. And I think that's the secret catching away. Look at this. Behold, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand, because this is, after the Laodicean message, at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, hear my word, hear my message, and open the door to them that can receive, to those, or one of them, right? I will come in to him, the person. So we got the door, right? I know it represents the door of the heart and all that. But what happens after that person opens the door, or the heart, if you will? And I will sup with him, have that stereo fellowship, if you will. I will have communion with him, intimate communion of the spoken word of life. And he with me. Amen. That's the imagery I want to leave you with this resurrection time, is that Jesus supped with the resurrected Lazarus after he had been, raised from the dead, and after he had been quickened in type, if you will. And in here, we have the opportunity to sup with him. This is Revelation 3:20. This is after the church ages, were taught on, and after the Laodicea, and he was given his word on that. Then this came before, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And there's an if. Any man hear my voice, open the door, just those two things, I will come unto him. And I will sup with him, and he with me. It will be a mutual revelation of who we are. It will be a mutual unveiling, and it will be a mutual communion. God bless you this Easter, brothers. Praise the Lord.